very important lesson in this perek to Klal Yisrael, and especially to Bnei Yeshiva, Bnei Torah. Yeshua Ben Nun made a cheirim, we learned about in the last perek, that nobody's allowed to benefit from Yerichoy. He made a cheirim on the city, he made a cheirim, we explained in Arichas Gadol, why he made a cheirim, on who he made a cheirim. Can't even have another city, and he also ushered everything in the city. Everything in the city was awesome. Achon ben Karmi ben Zavdi took from the Cherem. He took. And it was all very, very discreet. Nobody knew about it. Yeshua ben Nun didn't know about it. And the Pasuk just says, Vayichaf Hashem b'vnei Yisrael. But this anger that Hashem had wasn't known. Nobody knew. We went out to Melchome, Vayishlach Yeshua. He sent people to Ai, basically to set up a strategy to conquer Ai. Vayeshuvel Yeshua, and they came back. Vayalamanon kishloisha hamish. Vayaku meyem antre Ai kishloisha deshishayish. Basically, Klal Yisrael got defeated. 36 people died. And now it became uncovered why that happened. Yeshua ben Nun goes to Ribbono Shel Olam, what's happening? You have to realize every neshama is a tremendous thing, every one Yiddish neshama. But this was the beginning of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. This was the beginning of the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, right after the huge victory of Yerichoy. So this was like a huge, you know, simon that something's wrong. Something's wrong. We're on a victory run. What's going on? So Yeshua ben Nun goes to Ribbono Shel Olam, and Ribbono Shel Olam says again, "Vayema Hashem al Yeshua choto Yisrael." Okay. So what's the obvious question? What's bailed in this whole perek? What's the obvious question? The obvious question is. And last cycle, when we did Sefer Yeshua, I asked the same question. This is pretty good. This is ganz fine. From ganz Klal Yisrael, from the entire nation of Klal Yisrael, one person took a little shashkala. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Imagine Manhattan gets captured. Klal Yisrael capture Manhattan, becomes a chelik of Eretz Yisrael, hard to envision. And the Rabbonim make a cheirim on Gantz Manhattan. Everything that's in Manhattan is muhram. Not just the smartphones. Everything. Everything is in cheirim. And one Jew took one bracelet from one jewelry store. Gantz fine. You ever see what Manhattan looks like when there's a blackout? Rachman al-Slam. It's a Hefgeveld. The whole place is looted. So one Jew? Ganz fine. Klal Yisrael should get an award that Yeshua ben Nun was able to make such a successful cheirim. The Menahal would be very happy with that percentage. One? Make a rule in yeshiva, one guy was over the rule? With such a Yetzirah, talking about the whole city of Yerichoy. One guy! But the Pasuk doesn't say one guy. Vayimalu b'nei Yisrael b'cherem. The whole Klal Yisrael. What's going on here? One person. You have millions of people, one person. So that's the first Pella. That's not my Kasha. But even after we have Chazal's Teretz, the Kasha's a Kasha. Chazal answer why it uses the phrase Chotu Yisrael. Vayimalu b'nei Yisrael. Why does it say Vayimal Ochon? It should talk about it as an individual. So Chazal tells us there's a din arvus. Okay, true. We all have to take some responsibility. True. Memela. Okay, so that's why the Torah used the phrase Klal Yisrael to let us know we're all responsible. I understand. But Ad Kedei Kach? Who dies? So you would think, okay, so now Ochan dies. He's the one that did the Mila. And maybe we also have some responsibility. That's not what happened. The Pasuk says, Vayaku Anshe Aikesh Loishim Vishishish. Comes the Gemara of Basra and says, what was this? Who are these 36 people? The Torah doesn't say who these 36 people were. It says 36 people got killed. But it doesn't say Shloishim Vishisha. It says Kishloishim Vishisha. With a Chof Adimyan. Like. So the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Perek Yishneichlim, the Gemara says, Miuze, who's this? Ze Yoya Ben Menashe. We know Sanhedrin is 72. So, this person that died, Yoreb ben Menashe, was killed. He was Shokul Keneged Ruba Shol Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is 71. So, if you have 36, you have more than Rav of the Sanhedrin. I'm not getting it. So, why is he dying? Why is an Ochon dying? He's the one. That would have been Mita Keneged Mita. But Ochon didn't die. At the end of the parak, we'll see what happens with Ochon. But not here. Over here, Ochon doesn't die. Yoreb ben Menashe. The one who lechayr from the holiest Jews. He's the one that dies. What's Pshat? It's a Mamash Apella. So what's Tutzach Torah Rabbi Yisai? One other question. We know that this clearly, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Gimel that this was Arvus, we were responsible for each other. And even though Ochan did it, we all have a responsibility. That we know. But the fact is that this Arvus went up a notch when we went into Eretz Yisrael. Before we went into Eretz Yisrael, the Arvus was only on the Niglois. We went into Eretz Yisrael, the Arvus was also on the Nestoris. There was a new level of responsibility we took on when we went into Eretz Yisrael. The Shaila is why. The Maharal is a whole Mahalach HaPi, more Benister, Besisrei Torah. Why, when we went to Eretz Yisrael, we became more responsible. I want to give you more HaPi HaPshat of what this is. So, and like I said, this is very negeh, especially, it's probably negeh mamish for the Zman, the tkufa that we're in now in yeshiva. The concept of arvus has many different levels. But Chazal teach us that there's such a thing as arvus for things that you don't even know about. Which is very hard to understand. How can I be an oriv for something that I don't even know about? I'm oriv for beryl, I don't even know about it. I don't know what it is. I'm an or. How can I be? Taka the Pasuk says on Historius Lashem Elokeinu. V'anigloyis lanu uvaneinu. But Lamaisa Chazal tells us, according to one day, that once we went into Eretz Yisrael, we became Arevim even for Historius. How could you be an Orev for something that, if somebody would ask you, please take responsibility for things you don't know about? You can't do it. It's not even Shaykh. How can you be responsible for something you don't know about? Not even Shaykh. We need the Torah of Malachi Asharis. How could the Torah, how could we be obligated? Rabbi said it was a Muridika Mice in Eretz Yisrael, maybe 25 years ago, 30 years ago, and maybe more than that. And I said over this Mice. But recently, I read the book end of this Maisa. The first half of the Maisa you may have heard from me. The second half of the Maisa you didn't hear from me because I just read it. But it's the book end of the first half. It's a Musa Haskel. The Maisa Shehoya Kachoya is like this. A guy got an invitation to a Chasana. This is a maisa happened years ago, many years ago. A Yerushalmi gets an invitation to Chasana, looks at the invitation, doesn't know who it is, doesn't know the Chosan, doesn't know the Kala. By the way, I get now a lot of such invitations. I get invitations, the person says, L'chovid, my Rebbe. Turns out it's Talmidim from the app. Many, many. Now I get something to ask me beside the Kiddush, it's hard beside the Kiddush. I got Chosan, I never even met. I never met the guy. The bottom line is, this guy didn't know the Chosan, didn't know the Kala, this Yerushalmi. So he figured, okay, you know, so he doesn't know who it is. You just get an invitation. He sees a handwritten note on the bottom. I'm asking a personal request from the Bala Simcha herself, the Kala, please, I would like you to come to the Simcha. Okay. He goes. Anyway, as soon as he gets to the Chasana, he sees people with the commotion. They're looking for his name. Where is he? Vase von Gornish. The Kala wants to see him. They pull this Yerushalmi here to the Kala. Kala tells him, you don't remember me? He says, no, I don't remember you. The story is as follows. So Yerushalmi, he was learning in a koil in Eretz Yisrael. And he was doing some research on electricity. And in one of the pieces that he was doing on electricity, there was a piece of research he wanted to do from an out-of-print sefer written by the Mutzel Meyesh, and he couldn't find this particular sefer. So somebody told him, that may be me, somebody told him, I'm sorry, somebody told him that in Hebrew University, in Eretz Yisrael, they have an unbelievable library. Amisha, you can't see you could find any sefer there. So he went. So he was like you can imagine, the elephant walks into Hebrew University, with the Yerushalmi, with the pace, with the Gansamais, he walks in. He goes to the library. Anyway, Machaya. He went to look up the Mutzel Meyesh. He writes that he spent the whole day there. Because he just was so excited in that library. Anyway, he had food with him. He had lunch. He went to the cafeteria. For Shteitzach, he's not buying Rabbanut food in the cafeteria. He came with his Mahadlin and a Mahadlin lunch that he ate in the cafeteria. Anyway, he's benching. He's benching loud. He says, so, you know, it says, he said, there's a woman on the other side, a young woman, doesn't look religious at all. Eslichaduni, zelonachon. What you said is not right. There's no zelon nikasher. He looks like, you're telling me. I'm here. I just went through Gan Shas in the library. You don't know nothing. What are you telling me? He said, what do you mean? She said, there's no such thing. She said, I'm not religious, but I was brought up in a religious home. And I know mazeh b'chata mazon. I don't bench myself, but I know what it is. And it doesn't say, it just says loy nevesh v'loy nikolim. It doesn't say nikosho. You're wrong. Anyway, this guy was upset. He said, what do you mean? He looks, tries to find a siddur. Taka says, loy nevesh v'loy nikolim. He goes, slicha giveret, I'm going to the library. Library, you can imagine. In the Hebrew University library, they had siddurim from everywhere. Italian siddurim, Swedish siddurim, whatever you want. He starts taking out siddurim. Every single siddur. Says, loy nevesh v'loy nikolim. He was so embarrassed. He says, Giveret, give me your name. Looney, whatever her name was, Looney, and tell me where I send it to. I'm gonna find it and send you. Anyway, he spent the next couple of weeks, not the whole time, trying to do research. He taka found a siddur, finally found a siddur that had it, and he made a copy of it. So the lady tells him, the Kala, this Kala by the Chasana, was that girl marrying a from boy. She told him, you know what the ma'aseh with me is? I come from a religious home. And I gave everything up. So much so that in college I met an Arab boy. And we started having shaykhs. We planned to get married. Never chachman al-Islam, marrying an Arab boy. Her parents made that was the red line. parents told her, you marry him, we're finished. We can't have any shaychus to you. But she's going to marry him. Anyway, it got closer, closer, closer. The parents were still hoping. They had Rabbonim speak to her. They had this speak to her, that. They were hoping something. Anyway, her parents, as it got closer, her parents said, okay, we want you to move out. We don't want to have any. They made a date. They made a date. By this date, she's making up a decision, final decision. She was getting worn down from the whole thing, but she was planning to marry the guy. And she'll give up her family. What could she do? So they had a date. She said, I want you to know, she told us, Yerushalmi, the day that I had to make my decision, your letter came to me. And what this guy did, he was so afkarekt of the whole thing. He made a copy of Nikoshel, he put red ink around it, circled it, Nikoshel, and put a bunch of arrows, Nikoshel. She said, when I opened it up, and I was thinking, Nikoshel, I'm going to stumble. With the red, with the ink, with the whole. I just said, this is Mishamayim. I gave it up. I gave the guy up, Baruch Hashem. And I came back to my roots. And I still have your address. And actually, she went under her real name now that she was getting married. That's why he didn't recognize the name on the invitation. And he came to the chasna. This was the chasna. What a maisa. First of all, you see, What it does. Somebody benches with kavanah. The same yid could have benched quietly without kavanah. He's in the Hebrew University cafeteria. Doesn't have to bench the way he benches at home. It's a kefir ta benching. What he accomplished. But the reason why I'm blown away, this mice I said over many years ago. I said over in the homework 28 years ago. So this mice is an alta mice. Alta mice. And when I said it, it wasn't. Recently I read in the Ichud B'chidut that comes out, it's like a regular, it's a journal, it comes out, that this Yid writes a Maisa. This Yid that benched, he had kidney failure. He had a kidney transplant. There's an organization in Eretz Yisrael where they do matches to see if you match, if you don't match. It's done anonymously. But after the donation, after the person donates, they're entitled to meet each other. So he had a kidney transplant. Baruch Hashem, he's fine. He was sick. Baruch Hashem, he's fine. He wanted to meet the person. This girl. This girl, because the donor gave him a kidney. He gave her a neshama, and she gave him a kidney. This is Klal Yisrael. Arvus from Klal Yisrael. The sense of Arvus. He didn't even know. The Musa Haskell of this is, he didn't even know what he was doing. Something in him was maishik him that he's going to let this lady know Fulani Kosho. He didn't even know what it was. Something in him pulled him. Mamish Pulo Yadim. And she somehow got a pull, he writes at the end. When she donated her kidney, when they met, he asked her, what made you donate your kidney? She said, I was thinking of you. Not I was doing it for you. I was thinking of you. A Jew who I never met, who doesn't know me from nowhere, he made sure he saw through I should get the koshel. So I'm going to do the same. I'm going to do back the same. That's the arvus that we don't even see, the invisible arvus. The hargosha we don't even see. We don't see it. When we came to Eretz Yisrael, when the Eibishter gave us Eretz Yisrael, he gave us Eretz Yisrael with the idea that we should understand that this is a place where we could unify. We could unify. Arvus no longer is on the Niglois. Arvus is on the Nestoris also. Why? Every single chet has a sherish. Every single chet has a sherish. Any guy that smokes, there's one guy that got him started smoking. A guy's an alcoholic. There's a guy that got him involved in drinking. All destructive behavior, beruchnius and begashmius, right? Started somewhere. And that was a geirim. That ultimately, everything has a root. Everything has a sherish, where it came from. When we say Nistaris, it's because if you look at Klal Yisrael as one, and somebody does a chet, it comes from somewhere. It comes from the klal. Comes from the klal. Yeah, of course that person did the chet, but it comes from the klal. And that's why everybody was held responsible. Not only everybody was held responsible, the one who was most responsible, the Roi Sanhedrin. The one that shokel keneged the Sanhedrin. He's the one that's most responsible. Does he have shaychus himself? And the answer is, he has an obligation to create an environment in the klal that rejects this kind of behavior, that it would never be able to fester, would never be able to grow. When we went to Eretz Yisrael, we had the opportunity, when you're in Golos and you spread around, you don't have that kind of unity. It's harder to create that kind of environment. But now that we went to Eretz Yisrael, now we could really create an environment where even the Nestoris are going to be taken care of. That's why we became responsible even for the Nestoris. So now we could understand. The first city we conquered in Eretz Yisrael, And it happened through us that somebody was moil in the chera, was going against our whole mission statement. We went into Eretz Yisrael to be arevim on the nestoros. That's why there was immediate response from the rabbis. Throughout life, you're going to have achrayas. Your highest level arvus is to your mishpacha, your family. Why is your highest level responsibility to your family? Because you're going to have the biggest impact in your family, people you live with. That's your highest impact. Next, you're going to have arvus to the people who you daven with, the people who live in your neighborhood. Be'etzim, you have arvus for Gan's Klal Yisrael. But the people that are in yours, that are living with you, those are your Eretz Yisrael mention. That's what I call them. The people you're living with, those are your Eretz Yisrael mention. There you're an Orv even on the Nestoris. There you're an Orv because you are their environment. You create their environment. People don't realize it. What an impact they have on each other. A lot of times you see a Chos and Kala, they get married, they start talking like each other. Even the Narish kind, they talk like each other. They look like a bunch of Meshigon. Which is because they... V'hoyil basar echot. It doesn't bother me, Grant. I like when I see it. It's even my own children, I like when I see it. I'm not saying my children do it. I'm just saying I like when I see Chos and Kala become V'hoyil Basar Echad. When you're in yeshiva, it's the Eretz Yisrael Yidden. We are mamish areivim for each other, even under the stars. Every decision you make, personally, is creating the environment of the whole yeshiva. That's what you have to understand. There's no such thing in a yeshiva as Ochon doing a chet. There's no such a thing. It doesn't exist. It's always Rachman al-Islan chot to Yisrael. And the other way around, positive energy. There's no such thing as an individual positive energy. Positive energy is mamish energizes the whole klal. So this is mamish a perek. We have to arayin legin in the beina, like they say in Yiddish. You have to put it into your bones. Because this is mamish a from the yisoy de ha-yisoy.